I was thinking that maybe Juanita, you want to sit here in case we have people.
Oh, then we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
sure.
idea. Let me turn my phone off.
I just turned mine off. It is muted. Oops,
wrong way.
8:33. Call to order. Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I so move.
A second.
Any discussion?
Nope.
Yeah. Okay, I do have, want to make sure that we have an opportunity to talk about, not necessarily to, not to make any decisions about, but I wanted to do an update. Well, I guess we could do it under commissioner updates, couldn't we? We don't have commissioner updates. Okay, so I would like to update on the fuel negotiation and the stakeholders advocacy group. We're not calling it that anymore, but that's all related to the 104 Lindbach project. So it's the advocacy group and the Lindbach project. So maybe it's really just overall the Lindbach project. Okay. Is there a motion to accept the friendly amendment?
Yes. I so move.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Look.
That's good. D and E then. So awesome.
Zero public comment. Okay. So the decision on the county public works stormwater facility proposal. What I understood was that they weren't looking for us to say yay or nay on actually doing it, but on moving ahead.
Yes.
And
that was
doing
my impression
the preliminary
too. Yes.
Work.
Yes.
That was my understanding too.
Right. Right. That they were just seeking approval to do surveying and that kind of logistics, if you will.
So maybe we could make our motion to be that we're just giving them approval to move forward on surveying and the initial steps with more updates to follow.
Excellent.
Something like that.
What is your understanding, Steve, if you don't mind my asking, of the what in fact they're going to be doing in this next step?
So the next step is that they're going to see how the town connectivity fits in with our existing system and what needs to change in our existing system here on port property to be able to convey, well, first to clean that stormwater prior to it being outletted back into Appletree Cove. So it's the logistics of, do we need to do any major grading or pipe realignments or things like that from the existing system coming in. And then also seeing how our system with the diameter of pipes, if the diameter of pipes are the same, or if we need to upgrade pipes and things like that too. But the retrofit itself is all essentially, you know, the project they're getting a grant essentially to be able to do the retrofit grants. And so, I mean, to me, it's a fantastic opportunity for us to provide clean water, you know, for the town.
Yeah.
Clean stormwater, I should say.
And my sense is they're coming back to us by the end of this year. To do a
Because they were going to continue then with our approval, if you will, to continue with the feasibility study, and then from the feasibility they're going then to the next phase, which would be permitting, obviously. So any kind of permitting they'd have to do for upgrades to the outlets would be shoreline permits. But potentially, they might be able to do this under a shoreline exemption if they're using existing outfalls, which would be a lot cheaper, you know, for them to do. But then there wouldn't be a shoreline substantial permit if we were all talking earlier, if there was a substantial development permit that we might be able to piggyback any kind of shoreline action, if you will, on that as well. So.
So are they going to also address the outflow? They're going to evaluate that in relation to our sediment and our dredging and those issues too.
That's the other thing they were going to look at, is that if the biomembrane projects that would be in our existing lawn areas internally would be adequate, or if not, if they're too high in the system, then you know we'd have to dig way down, and then if there's not enough room, then it'd be inundated by tides, and we can't have that in the system. So they were then also part of this. They were going to look to see if over by the boat ramp that might be an opportunity to have that water all go out there, which would then flow out. That's another part of the study they'll have to do, is to determine if they change where the outfall is, if it's going to go over there or not. But so I didn't hear them mentioning that
at the presentation. Was that at your suggestion that they...
Well, I had talked about, you know, because they said, we think we might have a grade problem. We're not going to know that until they do the next survey stuff. Study. Yeah.
Okay. Because that could help alleviate some of our sediment issues, too, if it was outflowing on that part.
On that part, yeah. Yeah. But that's, I think, a bigger project and would be more disruptive to, you know, the existing parking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so we'd have to figure that logistics out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think when... after this meeting, there should be a letter written to, I guess, do you think it would appropriately go to Phil Strzok or to...
No, it's going to go... It would go to Angela.
Okay.
Yeah.
And...
Andrea or Angela, yeah.
Basically asking... Commenting that we're eager to see the timeline for the study, and once that's done, we can all determine the next appropriate moves.
So
is there a motion to suggest to give approval to go ahead with the study to the county?
Yeah, I move that we proceed with allowing the county to continue with the research of this project.
I second that.
Is there any further discussion?
Should Steve be the one writing that letter?
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I could write that.
Because
sure.
He has the connection.
Sure, I'd be happy.
And you know
to.
Exactly what
I'll what I'll do then is I'll write a draft and then maybe send it to you or
to Lacey.
You and to Lacey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our protocol internally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Communications to her, and then she can,
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, I will do that. Awesome.
Is it awkward in any way for it to go out under your signature, or should it go?
Should it Port of Kingston commissioners?
Yes, I think that sounds good. Yeah, because we've already done a motion on it, so we, in essence,
Great. Did you have the sense that timing was that getting that approval?
They want to get that in right away.
Okay, yeah.
So I'll do that here later this afternoon, or maybe this evening. I actually probably because I've got to get
So all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. The next is the Centennial logo and letterhead pen.
So I know there were some concerns in reference to, in talking with Lacey about this, that she felt that Terry wanted to use the other logo on everything. But Lacey was saying, well, not necessarily. Juanita might have input on this too, because when we're signing contracts or sending, or like our comprehensive plan, well, we're going to want this logo on our comprehensive plan. But there's kind of a disconnect as to what.
Well, this is the logo on our business cards and all that.
I had, because we got through blue type printing for our business cards. I was like, can we match a letterhead with the, so we're all matching, because we, you know, I don't like different things, you know. So, yeah, they helped and with all that, and it's ready to go. I just got to hit send for printing a ream, and like I said previously, we don't use very much letterhead, especially paper nowadays with emails and stuff, except for contracts or anything within internal personnel issues or personnel stuff. It's always been that letterhead, so we don't need to go all crazy with I really like what he did, and he's doing other stuff. It's not just the letterhead. So he's doing the ornament and coasters. I don't know.
Which for the centennial, I think it's a perfectly wonderful thing to be associated with the centennial. But I think to be associated with the actual port business, we should be consistent with what we're going to go with after the centennial too.
I
think we have to make that clear.
And I don't, and I feel like we should do this until that we should do any sort of major change besides possibly at the tagline until after we've really done a lot more thinking about the future.
Strategic planning elements and our comprehensive scheme update.
But I think that
could be rolled in.
Of course. I think what's being asked though is that the fact that what do we want as commissioners to go forward with in relationship to logo? Do we want to have the centennial logo on everything for the entire year? Or are we saying, no, centennial logo gets put on centennial things. Port logo stays as. That's what I think there needs to be a
demarcation, if you will.
And also the approval of the tagline.
Thank you. Added to the existing logo.
All right.
Can those be easily combined into one decision?
I think so.
Okay. So, anybody want to make a motion?
I make a motion that the Centennial logo is used for Centennial communications. That our existing port logo, we'll be adding the promoting economic vitality and enriching community life to it, but it will be used for all other communications.
Nice. Second that motion. That's excellent.
Any additional discussion?
That's great.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Excellent. Okay, so before we go into the executive session, public, would it be worthwhile? I'd like to go ahead and get these other things off the plate. The fuel negotiation with Kitsap Transit. I have put a call into Frank, and I talked with Jim about how what his ideas were about structuring it. I believe that it would be very valuable to have Ray as part of the first conversation, mm-hmm. because I think that he and John talk a very similar operational kind of language. Mm-hmm. And I think it also enables us to do sort of a soft introduction to it. Mm-hmm. And then come back in a second meeting with Frank and the two attorneys and me and John, and basically then get down to the hard business of getting it figured out. And my goal is to make it 10 cents, not 4 or 5.
Or 7.
Uh-huh, right? That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, and that's where my thinking is.
That's good.
And what I was going to suggest to Frank, mm-hmm. And also to Ray. And I think Ray is pretty positive about doing it. But I think that will be really useful in a whole lot of evolutionary thinking about how what role everyone's going to play in the future. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, if you're comfortable with that, I mean, I don't think it's an action item, but because it's really process as opposed to policy. But I just comments.
If you feel it's important to have him there, then I don't have a problem with it.
I do.
Okay.
I don't think that the first conversation with John should be attorneys sitting going forward.
So it's more of a, let's kind of, okay, I get that. Yeah, yeah. But when the negotiation part comes, it should be you and attorney.
Yeah, yeah. And because it'll be John and his attorney.
Right.
And that's how, that's how that one's going to work.
Okay.
So hopefully sometime in the next couple of weeks we'll have gotten that done.
Yeah, good.
Be nice.
I'm comfortable with that. I mean, you know, the work that you had done with the lawsuit related things and working with Jim and Frank on that, I think was excellent. That you know, in this kind of nexus period that we're in right now, you know, that makes sense.
Right. Thanks. Okay. Yeah.
But that's encouraging that they're willing to meet and.
Well, and I think it's there is relationship in terms of that relationship to the second topic, which is the Holden Bug Road project. And I'd like to take this in reverse order. Jim, myself, and Cam Fletcher met with Nicole McIntosh from DOT, Steve Rorock from DOT, actually Nicole's WSF, and Steve is DOT. And Stephanie Lilly and her assistant Lindsay, whose last name I don't think I ever got, from Kitsap Transit, and from Kitsap County, Andrew Nelson was there.
Okay.
And I think that was it. I was just scanning the table to see if I missed anyone. And it was, I felt, a very positive meeting, very constructive. Yeah. We started with the MOU and that, you know, the draft, and which has a large area to be dealt with and filled in about what each of the four agencies' basic boundary or role is. And everybody talked about that. There was Steve Rourke had many questions about what would it look like for the port to be managing the project. And by the end of it said, fine, I'll help. I'll do whatever design you want. He's going to do get the ball rolling on the wetlands.
Okay, good.
Before the end of the month.
Okay, excellent.
And
was he using someone local?
He's going to use his own people.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's going to have it done.
Wow.
And he understands we want it done, and that is a major part why we feel that we will be able to be more nimble as an agency than they will be to make the whole thing happen.
Yes, yes.
And so that seemed really positive. I think there was one point where I thought, uh-oh, we might go sideways in the next few minutes, and it didn't.
Yeah.
And Transit's very concerned. They are not looking at doing a transfer station up there.
Oh, okay.
They're doing a bus stop.
All right,
Because their basic thing is somebody's going to come in here, and where are they going to go?
Yes.
You know, so, which eliminates the whole need for the bus turnaround.
Okay,
multiple
right.
Multiple bus
staging
areas.
Right.
So they just want to be able to do two things. One, get people in and out, use it as a commuter parking Monday through Thursday. They get that Friday
Monday through Thursday commuter
moves
parking.
Moves into, you know, the weekend traffic.
Yeah.
And which I was happy to hear that.
What about holiday weekends?
Yeah.
As in
extending those days out.
Oh, they, because holiday Monday.
It's very clear that they get that what this primarily is a ferry holding lot for not a commuter parking lot.
Right.
Okay.
That's a secondary companion use, and but that should be called out. And I don't think those words were said. It was really focused on whenever the traffic is there, that needs to be in use for it.
Right.
And that I think part of the design conversation is going to be, okay, so is that always going to be where the ticketing is, which means that it is always a ferry holding lot.
Ah, okay.
And in addition, commuter parking Monday through Thursday, except on holiday weekends. And I took away a very strong willingness to make this work the way we wanted to.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
there's just logistics that need to be worked out.
And Transit, their major support for this, ultimately, is not for the parking, because they figured they'll put the parking somewhere, but for the ability to get their buses down here. Which they've been as stuck as everybody else.
They have.
Oh, down here.
Yeah.
They've been sitting halfway uptown.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And obviously this will enable that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So DOT's just primary concern continues to be how much extra staffing will it take.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to note, it wasn't really a report. We didn't really want to say, well, and Christine Rolfes says, commented that she had commented that she recognized that there could be some additional staffing dollars required, and that she was there for that. Really great. And so they were like, okay, we just want to make sure the DOT highway regulations and so on and so forth are followed.
Right.
Transit wants easy access. The county didn't actually bring up specific functional concerns. They were really, their focus is really on the whole feasibility from geotech, wetlands, and stormwater perspective.
Right.
And so we should have some basic answers on some of those things.
Okay.
That's good. Within the next month, probably.
Yeah. And it's...
I think the stormwater might be the biggest conundrum here from discussions with...
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And somebody commented in the meeting, well, you know, money solves everything. And I thought, oh, okay, who's money?
Right.
Figure all that out.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there is the expectation that everybody's putting some money in.
Yeah.
And, but I think everyone left with a very positive, this is going to work, we can do this. This is the new style for DOT, what I said.
Right.
And, apparently they've done a whole partnership thing with a roundabout in, on 305 with City of Paulsville.
With Paulsville, right.
And so they're saying this works better than being the ogre in the sky.
Right.
So. Right.
Hello.
Right. Johnson Road. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I was really pleased. And
so did the stormwater at all get brought up in relation to, I mean, I've heard people saying things.
Mm-hmm.
Are saying like, well, maybe one of the, maybe it was you that said it, maybe one of the wetlands could be regenerated, yeah, or maybe we could do retention, mm-hmm. or maybe we could do, mm-hmm. which will cost more money to do these things, yeah. but yet if they're mm-hmm. going to make it so that that neighborhood back there doesn't get flooded out, mm-hmm. then it would, mm-hmm. it's a benefit.
Yeah.
I think what was said about stormwater was that what we were hearing at this point preliminarily from mm-hmm. the county is, but that this part of it didn't sound very preliminary,
right.
is that this wasn't going to be served by the new...
They were considering it a transfer of water, if you will, to a different watershed, which... I'm not sure about that, to be honest, but it's, you know, they have their protocols, so...
Yeah. Well, I think... everybody seemed to get that that was a major issue that needed to be solved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the slam dunk that we all thought it was maybe 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
So,
just another hurdle.
Just another hurdle. And we also mentioned the advocacy group. So let me go back to the morning. This was an afternoon meeting in the morning. Mm-hmm. Stakeholders, which... they're really looking to focus on talking about it being the Chamber's economic development group. Do you recall the full name?
No, I don't.
I think they're negotiating it right now between Juan Caruso and Jerry and whoever will bring it back to the group.
Okay.
But they recognize that calling it stakeholders makes a lot of, while it may have made sense 20 years ago, it doesn't anymore.
Yeah, right.
And the optics are bad. And so, Christine Rolfes was at their meeting on Friday morning.
At their meeting?
Yeah, the stakeholders meeting.
Okay.
And jump in to anything you want to add, because Laura and Jim were there as well.
Okay.
As was Cam Fletcher. So, Senator Rolfes talked primarily about how to manage the state legislative process, primarily mm-hmm. in terms of budget mm-hmm. and secondarily or preliminarily in terms of support.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask for 8, you might get 2, so you should be happy with that. Mm-hmm. Recognize the reality of the funding situation, uh-huh. get everything in line and start the process by November.
Yeah.
And we passed the urgency of getting project estimates mm-hmm. to the agency group in the afternoon.
Right.
I didn't think there was anything very surprising in mm-hmm. what her recommendations were, mm-hmm. Although it did, as an aside, make me realize how different the world is than it was 17, 18 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when basically the exact same approach, you start with your locals, you bring one page document to meetings with all the legislators, mm-hmm. it is your story jump off point. It's not supposed to tell the whole story.
Right.
And we were trying to get full funding for the countywide transportation program.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a map of the transportation system. I had 4 major points and a bunch of little points. That year, it was so incredibly successful because mm-hmm. it was a story, and it made it clear that it was a single system that we were fixing,
mm-hmm.
and we got the entire ask, which everyone was astounded at.
Right.
So I can be a good support person to what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to act as a liaison to that group,
mm-hmm.
And there was, I think, that there's some risk that a shrill advocacy platform uh-huh. saying nothing's happening, you don't pay attention to us,
yes.
would seriously undermine mm-hmm. the 4-partner coalition that's mm-hmm. going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it needs to really, I think, say, this is in place, this is happening, this is great, but we need money for it.
Yes.
As opposed to do something now.
Yeah.
And,
right.
So that's what I've asked Sanjay about, if he would participate.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think he has as much intergovernmental communications experience as public outreach. And I think some of the folks on the advocacy group, I think, clearly got that message. And that tonal quality really matters. And I think we can work effectively with that group if we're conscious of the fact that there's a lot of community energy that we don't want to dissipate, but we want to direct it and guide it. And so Jerry Kirshner is chairing that committee.
Excellent.
Okay. And
And I think I said it to people after the meeting, you said it to people during the meeting, that it's very important that that group stay in very close communication with the partners and Mary and Cam and whoever's involved, and because we don't want them jumping ahead of what's going on here.
Right.
And that's so important. And Christine made it very clear that in reaching out, in our the path that we have to take to get a hold of other people to reach out to the legislators, she said, if you can't, if they don't respond, let me know. I will help. So she's more than willing to reach out to people to say, hey, you really need to talk, you know, which I thought that was fabulous. But she did expect, she said, don't expect to get very many, just, you know, be happy with a few. But also then Jim brought up, talking to the WPPA, the WPPA has lobbyists.
Oh, right,
and
sure.
So we're going to go that avenue too in order to get them involved in this, because they can also be advocates in relation to lobbying for us. So, in fact, I think that's where Jim is today, at the WPPA. So, it was a very, I thought it was a very encouraging meeting. And one of the, they were talking about getting buses together to go down to when the time
basically
comes.
Basically a legislative day.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah.
And I made the suggestion to Nancy after the meeting. I said, why don't you also go up to the high school and talk to the, like, the Honor Society or one of those groups and get some of the kids, the teenagers, that would be willing to put on shirts and know the issues and go with us. Because it'll look a lot more community minded if you have not just a bunch of us old people, but you have some from younger generations that are coming along with us and showing their support.
The business people, I think, too.
That too.
It's really important to have them.
These groups.
And there's summer at the market, I've met so many new families.
Yes.
We should have some of those people as well. But you've got 10 minutes. I mean, it's a really, it is so much about the visual impact and your one single sheet.
I wonder also if Stillwaters might be able to help with, because they're our local environmental organization, and maybe they might be able to help with this effort too, perhaps.
And it might be
support anyway.
Yes, that what we leave behind is the first, the thing on the cover is the one page or whatever that ends up being. But then what we have inside is a whole bunch of support letters that we don't talk a lot about the project, that we just have support letters, Stillwaters, and, you know, And so I feel like there's enough smarts and savvy, particularly if Sanjay is willing to participate. And I initially had some, oh my goodness, this could all end up all over the woods and nobody know who's saying what. But I don't think we'll end up there.
Yeah.
So
understanding roles or something.
Yeah, that's the whole key.
What people are going to contribute.
And I think there was also some hope that we would pop up and say, oh, Lacey can do all of the meeting setup and this and that and the next thing. And Jim actually said he thought she would really enjoy doing that. And I left that door open, but also said she's going to have her hands full like crazy over the next couple of months. Yes. And so let's see how we can parcel out the jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't put everything on on anybody, actually. Mm-hmm. But it's a big job, but it's, I mean, you're talking about the two transportation committees. Mm-hmm. Starting with the 9 local legislators,
right,
and doing them early, adding all the transportation committee people, and it's
wow. This is so cool.
I think I've done that.
Yeah, I think we've done that.
I told Nancy I'd be willing to help with that
if
need be, because I did that for you.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean. Yeah,
I worked very hard to not say this is really not such a big deal, but then again, I thought no, there's no point to saying that.
Yeah,
but I think we know what
it is. Time. Yeah,
it is time.
That's what it is.
But you end up with maybe 20 different people you really need to make contact with.
I think the whole point too of this is that they made was that at the different steps that we do this, there's going to be different opportunities for presentations. Mm-hmm. We need to have a large group of people, but we need to have one voice. Mm-hmm. We need to have one person that actually stands in front and makes, and when they suddenly say, oh, your presentation just went from 3 minutes to 1 minute. Mm-hmm. It needs to be somebody that can know, okay, I got 1 minute to do this in. No one else speaks.
Yeah.
Everyone is just there as the view.
Mm-hmm.
You're the view. That everybody knows you're together, knows you're behind that person, but it's so important that there's just one person that makes that statement, those comments, that presentation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about that group and who would be appropriate in that role.
We're going to have to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, because not everyone in that group can condense down.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I thought I had 10. I actually have 2.5.
Right.
And because that's what happens.
Yeah,
right. You have to be able to go from the 1 minute to the 10 minute on a fly.
Yeah. Either direction.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I felt that the combination of the two meetings was very, very positive. Okay. And as I said, I contacted both Mark Libby, who actually isn't on the Ferry Advisory Committee, but goes to all of their meetings.
He goes to their meetings.
And the minutes, I read back a couple of months worth of minutes, and, oh, Mark will do this, and Mark will do that. And I thought, okay, so he's like an ex officio member Ferry Advisory Committee, because I think they need to be part of the advocacy group. And I think one thing that I thought really went well in the discussion about the advocacy group was making sure that all the groups are, transportation related groups are tied in. So KCAC's transportation subcommittee is already figuring themselves out, and Ferry Advisory Committee. Those are the two big ones, and there's already representation from the 104 working group. So
there is going to that meeting.
Yeah. The
who are the representatives?
Jerry and Dave and
Dave Whitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are on the 104 working group.
Okay.
So. Yeah. No. I think it has a lot of promise to be.
That's awesome.
A good asset to the partner thing that I think is, if the partner thing doesn't happen, the project won't happen.
Right.
So that's what I'm most concerned about supporting and keeping the water clear around this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, good thing.
Yeah, it was good.
So, okay, and then, right, okay, so those were the things I wanted to talk about. So now we should recess into executive session.
Okay.
And it is 9:12.
How long before we come back?
What?
30 minutes?
Yeah, I'd
say 30 minutes.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Okay. Nice recording.
Thanks.
Yeah, they are going to be a little bit longer.
Are they? Yeah. So we're booted out again?
Get over it.
Okay, so we can read into
Does
that.
Does that seem So it is shortly after 10, and we're intending 10:04, and we're intending for the executive session to be extended to no later than 10:30.
Yes. Perfect.
So now how do we turn this off?
And then we pause it.
The right button.
This one.
Okay, it's recording?
Is it? Okay.
It's recording.
Has it been recording the whole time?
No.
Okay. Because it said 2:02 up here a little while ago, but now it says 3:03. It doesn't matter.
No.
So we're looking at extending for another 15 minutes 15. To 10:45.
Sure. Yeah.
We can always go shorter than that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Are we back on?
Yeah.
Yes.
This, if there's no other business, I think we can adjourn if there's a motion to adjourn.
Did we need to? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we just...
Well, we did come up with develop a process that we're going to use for review and the invitation and review of potential candidates. And basically what we're going to do is, as quickly as possible, advertise the availability of the staffing position. We're going to do it all different places, Honduras, Kitsap County, no, excuse me, not Honduras, The Sun, The Herald, the website, WPPA, et cetera, and as well as on the website. And then we will ask for letters of interest
and a resume.
And resumes, and refer them to the set of priorities on the website. And then our intention is that on the 2nd of October, we will which is a work session, we'll do a quick review of what candidates we have received, you know, are on the list at all. Mm-hmm. And then on the 4th, we will have an executive session after the BST Association rate mortgage study to develop a short list and divvy up reference checking and get interviews set up, with the idea that we will make the decision about whether this is a 3-month, 6-month, 12-month, or permanent hire at that time.
Yeah.
As based on the candidates.
They have until...
Pardon?
October 1st.
And that then we will have until October 1st for people to submit. Yes, thank you.
Oh, and right.
The exact start date is going to be based on who and how. And if we ended up hiring somebody that we thought wanted to be permanent, they might have notice to give. I mean, there would be a whole lot of pieces that would affect the start date. Somebody who was available immediately might be able to start earlier.
So right.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay. Is this for interim or executive director?
What we're doing is leaving the question of an interim, and if it was an interim, how long? Versus permanent, up to, we'll decide that based on the candidate.
Okay, for the ad purposes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We're searching for an executive director.
So no interim executive.
And just leave that question blank at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
For now.
But put the ad up for executive director.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that when we refer people to the website, that we should have a block that basically repeats what's in the ad.
In the ad.
But in that environment, adds that whether this position is, it's still open-ended whether the position is an interim or permanent position.
Okay. Because all jobs at the Port of Kingston are at will, so I don't know if we need to
Well, I think we want to make sure that people that would be interested only if it was permanent know that it could not work that way, or that somebody who said, I could do this for 6 months, but then I'm moving to
Greece.
British Virgin Islands myself.
But oh, the Virgin Islands.
So that people know that there's some flexibility.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
idea.
Yeah, and we should take a look at the list of priorities that was put together pretty recently and see if that's appropriate for this use to put on the website as well.
Okay.
I think we should see that within the month. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have anything to do with that.
Okay.
And
oh, yeah, good.
I'll work with you on whatever else needs to be tightened up on that in terms of where on that sort of thing.
Okay.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
And it is 10:50. All in favor?
Oh, aye.
Aye.
Awesome.
What about you? Are you objecting now?
No, I thought you said aye.
Okay, I didn't hear you.
I was the first one.